Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with a message entitled, The Demonstration Gospel is a False Gospel. The gospel which states Christ paid for sins at or before the foundation of the world, and that he then later came to earth to merely demonstrate that, is a false gospel. We read in Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Here the Apostle Paul says, one more time, though we, that is the apostles, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we, the apostles, have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let's focus in on the phrase, an angel from heaven. Because the word angel can be translated as messenger, and because an elect person can be said to be from heaven, an angel from heaven could be a person who claims to be an elect person and is coming with a false gospel. This is why Yahweh repeats in the very next verse, if any man, or person that is, preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So what we are being told is that any person who comes with a false gospel is accursed, and we should let them be accursed. In fact, we are told in 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any one unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, what is a false gospel? Well, to put it simply, it is a gospel that is contrary to the true gospel. And the bare bones of the true gospel is spelled out for us in 1 Corinthians 15, where we read in verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Here we learn that the true gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we know that Christ died for our sins on earth at the cross because of the context wherein, soon after telling us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, we are told that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Therefore, Christ could have only died for our sins when Cephas and the 12 apostles were alive to have seen him, which we know was on earth in 33 AD. Yes, we must conclude that when the Scripture says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, it had to have taken place on earth at the cross in 33 AD when Cephas and the apostles were living. Now, given this information, we have learned that an important part, a very important part of the true gospel is that Christ died for our sins on earth at the cross, and as such, any gospel that contradicts this teaching would be a false gospel. This is how we know that those who teach that Christ actually died for our sins at or before the foundation of the world and then just merely demonstrated this on earth at the cross are false. It is a gospel constructed out of the minds of men and not the gospel of the Bible. For if it was the gospel of the Bible, they would not teach that Christ died for sins at or before the foundation of the world, but they would teach, as we learned in the verses previously read, that Christ died once for our sins according to the Scriptures, and it was on earth at the cross in 33 AD. But this they do not do. Rather, they abuse the Scriptures to make them say something that they do not say, and they do this by taking the more unclear verses to interpret the more clear verses to twist the truth. Instead of using the more clear verses to interpret the more unclear verses, they do the opposite, with the result that they have constructed a false gospel based upon a grossly wrong interpretation of Holy Writ. For instance, they take the unclear verse of Revelation 13, which states, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world," and they incorrectly take this to mean that Christ was slain at or before the foundation of the world. And you can click on the link, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world," and the phrase "from the foundation of the world" to learn more about this. Then they take this wrong understanding of the verse to say that the following verse cannot mean what it literally says. In Matthew 20:28, we read, "Even as the Son of Man came," and we know that is referring to when he came to earth, "not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Clearly, this verse says that Christ, the Son of Man, came to earth to give his life a ransom, which literally means a payment, and this payment has to be referring to his payment for sins on earth at the cross. But because of what they wrongly assume Revelation 13 means, namely that Christ is the Lamb slain at or before the foundation of the world and not on earth at the cross, they will not take Matthew 20:28 for what it literally says, namely that Christ came to earth to give his life a payment for sins. But they make this verse say something else other than what it is clearly saying in order to maintain that Christ died for sins at or before the foundation of the world. So they take the more unclear verse, "the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." What the heck does "from" mean? They take this to twist the plain and clear verse, "the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom," into meaning something that it cannot possibly mean. They do indeed do this type of violence to Scripture in many places, because there are many verses which teach that Christ died for sins on earth at the cross. But according to them, all these verses are not to be taken for what they seem to obviously say, but you must see what they are spiritually pointing to, which they say is Christ crucified at or before the foundation of the world. The problem with this view is that it doesn't hold any water. It leaks. It's not a good interpretation. How are we to ignore what the scripture literally says, that Christ came to earth to give his life a payment? It certainly doesn't say that Christ came to give his life a demonstration or a type or as a shadow. And there's nothing about this verse that even hints at such an interpretation. We can't just read that into the verse without taking the verse for what it clearly states. To do that would make us fools. But we are not fools. And this is why we cannot distort this verse into saying something that it does not say. Indeed, the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom, that is a payment, as the scripture says. And this must mean that Christ came to pay for our sins on earth at the cross and not at or before the foundation of the world. Now we are told, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. This means, unfortunately, that all those who preach the demonstration gospel are accursed. And to be accursed means to be worthy of all the punishments of Yahweh mentioned in the Bible. This includes the lake of fire, which they have been spiritually enduring ever since May 21, 2011, and which will be literally manifest on the last day. And the last day could be as soon as October 6th, 2015. And of course, you can click on the link, could the end come on October 6, 2015? And you can click on the link, verse 20 of Revelation 14, part 3, to see the information that points to this date. Woe unto any man who is accursed. Woe unto any man who comes with a false gospel. Woe unto those who preach that Christ died for sins at or before the foundation of the world, and not on earth at the cross, which the scriptures so abundantly testify to. For their destiny is not the new heaven and earth, but the deep darkness of death. For more proof that the gospel which says that Christ died for sins at or before the foundation of the world, and that Christ then merely demonstrated all that on earth at the cross, is a false gospel, for more evidence of this, see the following. And there's 10 links. I'd recommend that you carefully study each one of those studies before coming to any conclusion. Because the scriptures are clear where Christ paid for sins at. And that was on earth, at the cross, on Calvary, in 33 AD. Christ did not pay for sins before the foundation of the world in some imaginary crucifixion that they think that Christ endured before he even came to earth, which is quite impossible since Christ did not even exist until he came to earth. He existed as the Son of God, yes, but he did not become flesh until 7 BC. So, Christ had to have paid for sins on earth. Now to the true elect of Yahweh, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace, as we await his glorious, glorious